You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to Thursday's Racing Podcast. My name is Jack and I'm joined by Craig Forsyth. How are you, Craig?
Yeah, all is well, Jack. All is well.
Good, an exciting week.
It is. It is. Thursday got off to a very good start. Unfortunately, there was some heavy rain in the morning of the first day, which didn't help the ground conditions, but didn't take anything away from the action because we've seen some nice performances on day one.
Yeah, I imagine that Caravaggio helped a lot of people off to a winner.
Yeah, and the Coventry Stakes, very impressive winner, two-year-old that didn't have a lot to race with on the stand side. Most of the pace was on the far side, but Ryan Moore gradually edged his way across to join the leading pack and came clear in very impressive style. You know, he backed up the promise he had shown in Ireland at the Curragh and his two starts, and he was a very impressive winner of the Coventry Stakes.
And the pictures we'll probably see in the papers will be mainly of Frankie Dettori, you would imagine.
Yeah, fantastic ride, and winning on Galileo Gold, it was a real good performance in the St. James's Palace Stakes. You know, always in the right place at the right time, and you know, that told in the end, and it was a fantastic ride. He caught his colleagues out, really, the way the race developed, and it was a really good performance. He's had a really good season so far, winning the English Guineas, second in the Irish Guineas, and now winning another Group 1 at Royal Ascot.
They don't get much better than that seasons, do they? So anything else that caught your eye that maybe went under the radar on the first day?
I think the two-year-old that won the Windsor Castle, Ardad, was very impressive. Clocked a really good time over 5 furlongs. Obviously, the American horse took them along at a real good gallop, which ensured, you know, it was a quick time. But the way this horse came clear after only one start and really built on the promise of his debut was a real taking performance by Ardad in the finale on day one.
Certainly one for the notebook. Ardad winning yesterday at a big price of 20-1
yeah.
as well.
Yeah, he was hard to find based on, you know, the bare form of his only win so far, but he certainly impressed the way he went about his business in the race.
Absolutely. So there's plenty more to come from Royal Ascot. We are far from done yet. Another good card on Thursday. We're going to take a look at all the races. We'll have a quick look at the whole card because it's hard to rule any out, really. So let's start with the Norfolk Stakes then at 2:30. What do you make of this one?
It's one of the strongest renewals of the Norfolk Stakes I can remember for a long, long time. Obviously, Global Applause sets a standard here with a win in the National Stakes at Sandown. You know, he's the only horse really that's been tested in listed company. So on that, he has to set the standard. He beat Mesmas, who was a very good second in the Coventry Stakes on Tuesday. It is rock solid form, but he did have an advantage where he was drawn against the standside rail at Sandown, and it did help him. And you just need to look back at previous winners of that race, and you know they were all drawn low, so he had a massive advantage there. And you know, he's 2-1 for this race, Jack, and I think that's on the short side against some potentially useful sorts up against them. The one I would want to be with in this race, a Godolphin horse I was very impressed with on his debut at Nottingham, was Silver Line. He came clear. Bold Phantom was the only one to give him some sort of race on that occasion at Nottingham. He ended up being beaten 3.5 lengths. He ran okay in the Windsor Castle Bold Phantom. He didn't really boost the form, but I think there's much more to come from Silver Line. Only had one start, matched what the favourite did, really. Global Applause on his first start at Newmarket, and he's open to a huge amount of improvement. So Silver Line can hopefully get us off to a flyer on Thursday, but you know, it's going to be no pushover. Prince of Leia, Prince of Cool, you know, they both impressed winning on debut at Haydock and Beverly. It's a real competitive race, and I don't think we should be, you know, looking at a 2-1 favourite for this race. So I'm going to go with Silver Line.
Yeah, it's very competitive indeed. Silver Line at the moment on the early prices, 4-1. All the prices for Thursday's racing are currently on the William Hill website. Right, let's move on to the Tercentenary Stakes, 3:05. This is a Group 3 race for the three-year-olds, and it's a nice-ish field here, isn't it, in terms of numbers?
I think it's a good betting race. I'm looking forward to this, and hopefully we can find a little bit of value in this. And I think we'll start here with the current favourite, which is Abdon for Sir Michael Stout, a horse that's had two starts so far, one on debut, winning a maiden at Newbury last year, and then finished second on his return at Newmarket. Hawkbill was the winner of that race, but he was in a much better position than Abdon. They didn't go much of a gallop early. Abdon was held up by Frankie Dettori, you know, poorly placed in the race, and when the pace quickened, he caught the eye the way he stayed on for second, but obviously Hawkbill getting first run was at an advantage. I can definitely see Sir Michael Stout's horse turning round at Newmarket form, but would I want to take 3-1 in a race like this again? You know, he's priced up on the fact that he's already set to improve by £7 to £10, you know, and I would rather go with a horse that's got more solid form in the book. Next in the market is Blue de Vega, a horse that has run really well at the Curragh on two occasions this year. I think definitely the best of those was the first start back over 7 furlongs when finishing second to Ortad. I didn't think he looked all that straightforward last time in the Irish Guineas, finishing third. Just looked a little bit wayward in the closing stages, and that would concern me. Softer ground, definitely a plus. Hits the ground hard, high knee action. So the softer ground definitely in his favour, but concerns about his attitude, the way he finished off in the Irish Guineas. Prize money is my each way value here. Horse trained by Syed Bin Sarua, two starts this year, really good second and a strong handicap on his return at Newmarket. That looks very strong form. And then in the listed race at Goodwood last time, lost nothing in defeat behind Algometer, a horse that finished 7th in the Derby. The Derby was never really going to be his cup of tea. He's more a Staines type, he's more a St. Ledger type, and that form looks strong. He had entries in the King George the Fifth Stakes, but he's decided to come here. I think he's a real promising sort. The soft ground holds no fears, as a son of Authorised. 8-1 each way. I think he's a decent bet in the Tercentenary Stakes.
Yeah, very decent price. 8-1 prize money in the Tercentenary Stakes. There's also been a little bit of money for Hawkbill as well, nibbled into 4-1 from 9-2. Let's have a look at the 3:40 then. The Ribblesdale Stakes, a Group 2 for the fillies. And there's plenty to choose from here, isn't there?
There is. I mean, we've got a clear horse that sets a clear standard, and that is the horse that finished second in the Oaks in the Architecture. A real good run. You know, thought she was going to win with a furlong to run, only to be reeled in by a top-class filly in Minden, who met quite a bit of trouble in running. But you look back at previous horses that have run so well in the Oaks that have come on to Royal Ascot in this race, and they've got an absolutely shocking record. So that definitely puts me off Architecture here at 11-4, just 13 days on from having a fairly tough race. So again, you know, we're going to be looking elsewhere. And the horse I like here is Aidan O'Brien's filly. She's a daughter of Master Craftsman and was really unlucky at Newmarket on her return, finishing third behind Swiss Range. Ryan Moore could never really get a clear run at any stage of that race, and she went past the post full of running with a lot more to give. You know, lovely pedigree. You know, she's a filly that has got so much more to offer, and I think she could be the value against the favourite here at round about the 4-1 mark.
Yes, some more value then in Evensong, 4-1 currently on the William Hill website. So let's move on to the 4:20 then. This is the Gold Cup, and it's in honour of the Queen's 90th birthday. Group 1 race as well, and it's a big field to sort out. I mean, Order of St. George is going to be the favourite. How does he rate against the rest of the field?
Yeah, he comes out well clear here. He obviously won the Irish St. Ledger at the back end of last year, made his reappearance this time around at Leopardstown over 1.6 miles on quick ground, and came clear in the style of a very good horse, and horse that looked like he'd improved again from 3-4. Aidan O'Brien's got a fantastic record in this race with his runners, and he looks to have a horse here that's going to take the world a beating in Order of St. George. We've opposed a few favourites on this card so far, Jack, looking for a little bit of value. I think we're going to keep it simple here, and we're going to stick with a short price favourite, Order of St. George, And he sets a decent standard and definitely the one they've all got to beat.
Seems sensible. Even money at the moment on order is St. George. You can tell by the market that the next one down is 8-1, Max Dynamite. So
yeah,
he says it all.
Max Dynamite had an excellent opportunity to make a winning return at Sandown in the Henry VII Stakes, but he disappointed on that occasion. And, you know, you couldn't really back him for a Gold Cup on the back of that effort. A little bit disappointing at Sandown. So it all points to the short price favourite.
Certainly does. Even money at the moment, as we said, on the William Hill website. Right, penultimate race then on Thursday is the 5 o'clock, the Britannia Stakes. It's a Class 1 and it's for horses rated between 0 and 105. I wouldn't like to be having a look through all of these, but there's got to be some tremendous each-way value here, hasn't there?
Yeah, really good renewal, a competitive 30-runner handicap, but there's one horse here that I've had in mind for, you know, the big handicaps at Ascot and Glorious Goodwood in a few weeks' time, and that is Chief Whip of Richard Hannins. Horse that really impressed when winning on his only start as a juvenile. Picked up off a slow pace and, you know, he looked a potential group horse on that occasion. Badly needed the run on his return at Sandown, and then was unlucky with a draw at York. He was badly drawn behind Castle Harbour, couldn't get a clear run at any stage of that race, and finished a good second. Again, he filled the same position at Haydock behind Garcia of Richard Farhees, another runner in this race here on Thursday. But I think Chief Whip of the two, you know, is still open to a great deal of improvement. And we certainly haven't seen the best of this horse. I think he'll be making his mark in Patton Company by the end of the year. I do think he's a ready-made winner of a good handicap. And at 11-1 each way, he would definitely have to be my selection. But dangers are plenty.
Yes, yeah, massive field. But that even 11-1 seems like a really good value on Chief Whip. There's been a bit of money for Defrocked as well, 14-12s.
Yeah, the harder they go, the better chance he'll have. You know, he looks like the type of horse that will excel in a big field handicap, which is run at an end-to-end gallop, and you know, he should find everything run to suit. So he's another one to look at and include on any shortlist.
Yes, keep your eye on Defrocked and keep your eye on the weather forecasters. You've probably heard us say numerous times throughout the podcast this week. So the final race of the day is the King George V Stakes. 18 go to post here, Craig. Final race of the day. Let's make some money.
This is my bet of the meeting.
Ah.
This is my bet of the 5 days, Jack. You'll be delighted to hear that. Ever since I seen a horse in the paddock at Newcastle and then watched him demolish his field in the race, I thought Charoa was a ready-made winner of this contest. I penciled him in straight away after the Newcastle race, obviously looking at the bare form with wave reviews, for a mark round about 95. The handicappers pitched him in here rated 91. Wasn't too far away. But that £4, a bonus in our favour. He's a really good-bodied, strong individual. Like I said, really caught the eye. He reminded me very much of Harbinger at that stage of his career. And he annihilated a good field. The Willie Haggis horse, wave reviews, who's rated 81, finished a poor second. And he is a decent horse. You know, he will win decent handicaps wave reviews. I was extremely impressed. He steps up another 2 furlongs. You look at the horse's pedigree, that has to be a plus. There's plenty of stamina in there. I just think this is another potential Patton class performer in the making, running in a handicap of 91. Drawn 4, doesn't look to be a bad draw. I think he ticks a lot of boxes for me. I think he's the bet of the meeting, 7-1 each way, Shiro.
Yeah, good price as well. Bet of the meeting in the 5.35 from Royal Ascot. So keep your eye on that one. All of the races tomorrow priced up at the moment on williamhill.com. Craig, thank you for your company as ever. You can hear Craig on William Hill Racing Radio, and all the podcasts are available on the news section of the website.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.